From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Starting today, you can read all about it. At the stroke of midnight, former President Bill Clinton's autobiography, My Life, went on sale. Over the coming weeks, Clinton will be all over the airwaves explaining his presidency and baring his soul. Here's a taste of what you'll find in the 900-plus page book in a passage read by the former president.
After a miserable, sleepless night, I woke up Hillary and told her the truth about what had happened between me and Monica Lewinsky. She looked at me as if I had punched her in the gut, almost as angry at me for lying to her in January as for what I had done.
Well, Clinton's media blitz will put him in the spotlight, perhaps at the expense of John Kerry, who's had a hard time staying in it. Tonight on Point, Bill Clinton and his impact on John Kerry and the 2004 presidential election. We begin in New York, where even before the clock struck midnight, people were lining up outside of the Barnes & Nobles at Rockefeller Center to buy the book. Following the buzz in the publishing world is Charlotte Abbott, book news editor at Publishers Weekly. I asked her if Clinton's memoir has all the signs of a blockbuster.
I think the signs are good, although it is, of course, a little early to say. The early reports are that there were pre-orders of 2 million copies. The publisher only printed 1.5 million, so anyone doing the math can see that the demand could well exceed the supply, at least initially, although the publisher assures me that they are planning to assess the situation themselves and possibly go back to press as quickly as tomorrow. But from their point of view, they have plenty of books in the market to cover the first day's demand.
And what are you hearing from booksellers?
Well, they're very excited. From the time that Bill Clinton spoke as the keynote at the industry trade show a couple of weeks ago, there has just been an atmosphere of infectious enthusiasm among booksellers who feel like this book is going to make their year. And that includes chains like Borders Group, as well as independent booksellers who feel like this is the book that's going to draw people into the stores and may give them ideas about other books they could buy.
There was a massive advance for this book, wasn't there?
There was. It was reported to be $10 to $12 million.
Is that the biggest ever?
Well, for a single book by a single author, yes. The next runner-up is The Pope, who got $8.5 million, and Hillary Clinton wasn't far behind with $8 million. But it looks like they are on the path to earning it back. Certainly the sales expectations at this point look like that it will be well on track to earn out. And then in addition, the publisher also bought foreign rights, and they have sold those translation rights in at least four or five countries at this point. So that's another revenue stream.
The critics don't seem much enamored of the book. The New York Times, for instance, in a front page review on Sunday, called it sloppy, self-indulgent, and often eye-crossingly dull. Will that affect sales?
It's a good question. I think Hillary Clinton's book proved to be review-proof in the sense that in the first week that it came out, it was widely criticized for being a bit glib and not yielding very many intimate insights into the mysterious Clinton marriage. But readers turned out in droves, and they bought 600,000 copies the first week it went on sale, which was about 40% of its total sales. That book sold 1.5 million copies. So it's hardly a failure. And I think really the word of mouth was that she's someone who had led a fascinating life, and people wanted to hear what she had to say firsthand, even if it wasn't everything that they wanted to know.
But books like this, they sell for who has written it rather than for the content, do they?
I think in a lot of cases that's true. And certainly I think in the publisher's employment of Bill Clinton as a promotional tool for this book, I mean, he's going on an extensive tour and he's just embarking on the first leg of it. But like Hillary, he will be touring through the fall. I think for a lot of people, you know, it's going to be about meeting Bill Clinton on this tour, shaking his hand, looking him in the eye, and the book will be a souvenir of that experience. Hopefully it will also deliver, a story that people want to read. But
there was a question, wasn't there, at one time of whether or not Clinton would finish the book on time?
Yes. He has maintained, and I've seen him speak three times now, and he maintains every time, and also in the book, that he wrote the book out in 27 notebooks longhand and worked with different assistants to chisel it down to its current 900-page length. And it seems like he was really dedicated to the process of writing it, and especially to writing the story of his childhood. So I think he seemed to really relish that process. Certainly that's what he says in his appearances.
And has the book been published on the day that it was meant to be published? Because, again, there was a certain amount of wheeling and dealing about the publication day.
There was. And, you know, who's to say? I think from a publishing point of view, the timing is fantastic. A lot of retailers were hoping to have a big book for June, because last year there was Hillary Clinton's book and Harry Potter's book, and they had to meet those results this year. They got that. Certainly Knopf provided that. And then also, you know, this is a great kickoff to the summer reading season. So I think that there's a lot here.
Great for the publishers, but what about the politicians?
In what sense?
Just in terms of its timing in the course of the election campaign. Maybe there were those who would have wished it to have been published after the vote.
That might have made for a better book for posterity. I mean, this book, certainly the critics have faulted. They said that he wrote the book he wanted to write about his childhood, and he compiled a book about his presidency. That's kind of turning into the critical line. And, you know, with more time, perhaps he might have written a book that was a more thoughtful look back at his presidency. But I think he's a man who relishes the chance to exert great influence on the present, and clearly that had a lot to do with the timing in a political sense.
You were at the big book launch party last night, an exciting affair?
It was. There were a number of luminaries there, Barbara Walters and Larry King and Charlie Rose, perhaps a bookish group as well. There were a lot of congressional staffers and people from the book industry. Maybe not the highest celebrity wattage, but there was certainly an A-list crowd there.
So Clinton's still got pulling power?
It would seem so.
Charlotte Abbott, many thanks.
Thank you.
Charlotte Abbott is book news editor at Publishers Weekly. She spoke to me from New York. It's been 4 years since Bill Clinton left the Oval Office, but he still casts a larger-than-life shadow on a Democratic Party that again finds itself in a tough battle for the White House. Back in 2000, Al Gore tried like mad to distance himself from the Monica Lewinsky scandal and banished his boss to the sidelines. Gore lost Arkansas, and you know the rest of that story. Fast forward to 2004, and what to do with Clinton is still a volatile question. Months ago, the Kerry camp and Democratic National Chairman Terry McAuliffe got Mr. Clinton to agree to get the book out by early summer so that it wouldn't interfere with the campaign's fall climax. The real story, reports the Wall Street Journal, is that they actually wanted to delay the publication date until after the November election. Do you think President Clinton is an asset to John Kerry on the campaign trail, or is he a liability? Does Clinton help or hurt Kerry in the battleground states? Join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Seattle, Washington, is Kathy Allen, Democratic strategist and head of the Campaign Connection. Good evening, and welcome, Kathy Allen.
Thank you.
Also with us, Jack Beatty, On Points news analyst and senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening to you, and good evening to our guest.
Kathy Allen, are the Democrats even thinking of a Clinton factor, Bill, that is?
No, I don't think that Democrats ever forget the Clinton factor. He is very present. The fact that he's kept such a high profile in the last 4 years, he's still been on the speaking circuit. He's been on the West Coast here, even in Seattle, several times in the last just 2 years. And this is before the book. Now we know that he's coming out here even this week. It's a big deal. I mean, he casts a very large shadow, something that someone like Kerry could easily be caught up in.
A shadow, so it's not a benign presence.
You know, some of it is good and some of it is bad. I reckon this back to the recent passing of Reagan. I was unsure as to the Reagan passing. I heard some of the great oratory and such, and I thought, gosh, did I really dislike this man as much as I remember? But then in comparison to Bush, it was a no contest. It was like, oh, gosh, well, Bush is so much more than Reagan. Maybe Reagan wasn't as bad as I thought. In many of the same ways, we see the situation with Clinton and Kerry, that for people on the Democratic side, we're wanting to believe in this Kerry. We are definitely wanting to believe in him in a big way. But then Clinton comes along. You see him on 60 Minutes, and I've got the book here in front of me. I've read my only 221 pages so far. But the fact is I look at it and I say, boy, does Kerry measure up to the president that I saw, at least, in Bill Clinton?
But do you make comparisons between Bill Clinton and John Kerry? I mean, when you watch Clinton on the television or hear him on the radio or now read his words?
Actually, I think that in taking a look at it, we do, of course. In fact, in the book, there's a number of different passages where he's already talking about the kinds of excitement of the crowd and building of it. And I'm sitting there thinking, gosh, I hope that Kerry can do that. I hope that we can carry this summer where there's excitement from the convention right on through to the election in November. But I do see that he does cast the shadow of somebody who you look at and you say, he was our president. And so someone who hasn't been president certainly has a harder job to cast that same kind of image. I do think that he's been the interest in Kerry right now is so great nationwide that we find every reason we possibly can to look at the Clinton material and say, oh, gosh, this is going to help Kerry. Oh, I'm just hoping it's going to help Kerry.
Jack Beattie, are you in the mood to compare and contrast at the moment?
Well, I know the late night comedians are. They've already started. Last night, David Letterman got off a good one. He said, at 950 pages, this book can only be compared to Harry Potter, both books about boys and their wands. he's comparing him with Harry Potter. I don't think Kerry will gain or lose a vote on the strength of Clinton that he wouldn't have gain or lose otherwise. But he is vulnerable to what you might call the Lyndon Johnson editorial trick, and it comes out of a 1941 Senate campaign in Texas, a couple of years before President Roosevelt had been in Texas, and Congressman Johnson went to meet him, and the governor stood next to the president, and Johnson was on the far side and reached over and shook hands with him. Well, when Lyndon ran for the president for the Senate in 41, he blacked out the governor, so you just saw Lyndon Johnson shaking hands with Franklin Roosevelt all by himself. Well, I can imagine Karl Rove doing something like that with John Kerry's statement. He said it again and again. If you like Bill Clinton's economy, you'll like John Kerry's. I can imagine an ad that says, if you like Bill Clinton, you'll like John Kerry.
Kathy Allen, does 4 years make all the difference? Is Clinton's pariah status, if that's not too strong a description, a thing of the past? Can Kerry use him effectively, do you think, on the campaign trail without raising memories of all those Clinton scandals and what made Bush appealing to so many voters in the first place?
Clinton is a character that you like or you hate. And the crowds that tended to warm to him in the past now are very much passionate about getting him on their stages. I've seen this guy all up and down the West Coast and can just tell you that the crowds he's packing in right now and his speaking is just really something that Democrats not only pay a lot of money to listen to, but he has great clout. He does have great clout. I also see that when Kerry's around, that there's been this distance that so far we haven't seen exactly what kind of closeness there'll be with the two of them on the campaign trail. Sort of what we saw between Al Gore and Clinton, only reversed this time.
Jack Beattie, it occurs to me that maybe John Kerry should be thanking Clinton for coming out with this book so that he can maybe stay under the radar a little bit longer.
Well, I think that may be true. I mean, this is something now for conservatives to chew on. I mean, they've got their favorite bone, and they, you know, they're obsessive about it. And so rather than chewing on Kerry the past weeks, I mean, Rush and crowd will have their feed on Bill Clinton. So, yeah, I think it in that sense, it gets them off his back for a while.
Jack Beattie, do stay with us. Jack Beattie, On Points News Analyst. And you too, Kathy Allen, Democratic strategist and head of the Campaign Connection. We're talking tonight about the Clinton factor in the 2004 election. Is Clinton the ticket to rallying Democratic support for Kerry? Can Kerry connect with Clinton without connecting himself to the Clinton scandals? What are you making of the crowds lining up to buy Clinton's autobiography? Are you one of them? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about former President Bill Clinton, back in the spotlight with the release of his autobiography today and his impact on John Kerry's bid for the White House. Here's what Kerry had to say publicly about the book.
I welcome the president's book, and I welcome the president's book tour. I think that both are going to remind Americans about some very, very good years in terms of the economy of our country and the policy directions we took.
Well, if you were John Kerry, would you send Mr. Clinton on the campaign trail? If so, where and where not? Is Clinton a liability, an energizer, or a non-factor for you as you look at the 2004 campaign? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking to Democratic strategist Kathy Allen and to On Point News analyst Jack Beattie. I'd like to bring into the conversation now Charles Black. He's a Republican strategist and served as senior advisor to Presidents Reagan and Bush. He also served as a principal public spokesman for President Bush in the 1992 presidential campaign. He served on President George W. Bush's 2000 campaign as a volunteer political advisor and surrogate spokesman. Welcome to you, Charles Black.
Thank you.
Is the reemergence of Bill Clinton a godsend or a nightmare for the Republican Party?
Well, I think it's actually going to be a negative for John Kerry, because Kerry has not established a strong positive image with the American people, and he could certainly use all the news coverage and attention that he could get this summer in order to try to establish a strong image. And having Bill Clinton dominating the news, traveling around the country market to market, is probably going to squeeze Kerry out of the coverage somewhat.
And what should be the response to Clinton, do you think, from the Bush-Cheney re-election camp? Ignore or attack?
Well, I think they'll ignore. I mean, we're not running against Bill Clinton. We're running against John Kerry, a different person with a different record, and the issues are different, although I did note in Senator Kerry's response that he said Clinton's prominence will remind people of the good economy. You know, the economy right now, this year, is growing faster than it was in 1996 when President Clinton ran for re-election. So Kerry's going to have a hard time talking the economy down.
So you say ignore, despite the fact that some conservative writers, talk show hosts, have been having a field day with Clinton. Rush Limbaugh called the book My Lie. What do you think is being stirred up here?
Well, now, we've got to make the distinction. You asked me what the president and the president's campaign should
sure.
do. They should ignore it. Obviously, it's fair game for conservatives who are journalists or commentators, and how could they resist when Bill Clinton reemerges? And certainly with the, I have not had the opportunity to read the book, but based on the New York Times review, and I seldom quote the New York Times, but they call it sloppy, self-indulgent, eye-crossingly dull. They said it reflects Mr. Clinton's presidency, lack of discipline, leading to squandered opportunities.
I mean, the book may be dull, but the man's popularity clearly is still very high, people lining up to get his books by the thousands. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think, he is an interesting character, and certainly people are interested about the personal aspect of his book. I doubt seriously as many people are buying it for political history as they are for the personality insight they might get into Bill Clinton. But so, again, I think it's fair for the conservative commentating community to take on the book and Bill Clinton, but the president's campaign is not going to have anything to do with it.
Thanks for that, Charles Back. Let's just take a call. Cora's calling from Sherbert in Massachusetts. Cora, what would you like to say or ask?
Well, I just wanted to add that I believe that the judicious use by John Kerry of Bill Clinton later on in the summer, on balance, would be a plus for Mr. Kerry. I think that in the near term, he ought to let things die down a bit. There's a great furor now over Clinton's book coming out, and Kerry should just, and things are going so horrifically badly in Iraq, that I think John Kerry should just sort of sit tight and try not to make any egregious errors over the next 4-6 weeks. But perhaps in 8 weeks, in August, September, depending on where he brings in Bill Clinton, I think that it could really help John Kerry with the undecided voters in the battleground states. Bill Clinton is an extremely he's an extremely electric person when you hear him speak, and if John Kerry can gain by that in front of voters, the energy and the enthusiasm, I think it would serve him well. The only down for Kerry is that the, you know, by comparison, he may suffer a little bit. But I think that at the end of the day, the folks who are going to bring up, you know, all the scandal of Bill Clinton's presidency and the folks who are listening to Rush Limbaugh in no way, shape, or form were ever going to vote for John Kerry under any circumstances.
Kathy, so, let me just put that point to Kathy Allen that you made, the judicious use of Bill Clinton. I mean, do you agree, Kathy Allen, that Clinton could be deployed more profitably in some states than others?
Well, I think that what he's doing right now is he's feeding the void between now and the convention. And to that extent, what happens is that Clinton takes some of the airwaves. He manages to get up there in many ways, remind us of the good days. And so as he gets going on this tour, there is a voice out there that says, you know what, I'm part of this bigger team. He does come into convention, I'm going to expect, as a major player. And as we all gather there in the sweltering heat of the July sun in Boston, the fact is that Clinton will be a great segue to Kerry. And I know, because I am a Democrat, this wasn't planned this way, but I expect that how this is all going to play out will at least give the public the sense of segue between Clinton and Kerry.
Jack Beattie, is it the case, though, do you think that some states will be more forgiving of Bill Clinton's past moral misdemeanors than others?
Well, certainly some groups. His popularity among African Americans is very, very high, and his moral derelictions didn't count as much for them as the efforts he made on civil rights and with his appointments and so on. So I expect we'll see a lot of him discreetly in black communities. I wouldn't expect you'll see him much in Arkansas. I don't know. But you know, it reminds us of, our world today reminds us that Bill Clinton wouldn't have been elected in 1992 if the war on terror had been on. Neither would George Bush in 2000, and Bill Kristol said as much on our show. And it reminds us of the strength that Kerry had. He is a war hero. He is a veteran. He has been for 20 years on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This stuff is his bread and butter. And he's in some ways a far better qualified candidate for this moment than Clinton would be.
Memory's calling from Lexington in Kentucky. Memory, what do you want to say?
Well, first of all, I am in my car in Lexington. I'm traveling from Atlanta to Cincinnati, listening to your program. And before I left Atlanta, I ran in and bought the book fast, and I'm about 100 pages into it. And I have to say that...
You're not reading while driving, I hope.
Well, I'm not the one driving, but I'm really enjoying the book. Mr. Clinton was an intelligent and fascinating person who was consumed with the idea of public service, which is very inspiring. And I would like to say that I believe his presence at this time and his book is going to draw people to the real issues. It's going to revive the idea of the many issues that we face right now in looking at the future. And I do believe that, as your commentator said, this is going to be the bone for the people obsessed with Bill Clinton. It's going to provide cover for Mr. Kerry, who is himself not just a warrior, but he's a man committed to public service as well. His whole life has been this. And he is ripe for the White House, and he's ripe for it. And so I can only see Mr. Clinton in his book at this point being good for Kerry and good for the Democratic Party and good for drawing people who are interested in reading a story, which is what this is. Many, many good books are out now, very politically directed, but this is a good story, and that's what's going to draw people to this book. He's a storyteller. You can just really see it in the first 100 pages.
Okay.
I've been in.
Charles Black, if there is a perception among some voters that Clinton is good news for Kerry, you can't simply ignore him.
Well, again, the president's not running against Bill Clinton. He's running against John Kerry. The campaign itself has no reason to comment on the Clinton book activities, but I mean,
if Kerry's figures start to improve, and that can be attributed to Clinton's presence in the campaign, surely you must be thinking in terms of neutralizing Clinton?
Yeah, you know, I've been around this for 30 years, and I've never seen that kind of transference of popularity. The voters instinctively know that politics is about the future and never about the past, and they want to know about the two candidates who are running this time. And if Clinton could somehow get Kerry to move on some policy matters to where he used to be, where people perceived him to be, it might help Kerry because he's not there now. But, you know, one other point, your caller talked about the judicious use of Bill Clinton and the Kerry campaign. I think that use is going to be a lot less judicious than the Kerry campaign wants, because you got to stop and think about this. Hillary Clinton's worst nightmare is for John Kerry to be elected this year. She's planning to run for president in 2008. She can't do that if Kerry's in the White House. So the Clintons might turn out to be a lot busier this October than a lot of people expect when it comes to comes time to campaign for John Kerry.
Jack Beattie, Charles Black there said he couldn't remember any instances of what he called the transfer of popularity. Are there any precedents?
Gee, I can't think of one. I mean, we haven't. This is, I suppose, President Reagan in 1992 gave a speech for George Bush. But otherwise, losing presidential candidates or losing presidents have been treated pretty much as pariah by their parties and haven't been able to transfer any nimbus to the other person running. I think that Machiavellian speculation of Charles Black is a very interesting one, that where does Clinton really want John Kerry to be the president? That's a question worth considering, and it may well he may well find that his dance card is full in the fall.
Okay, we're discussing here On Point, is Clinton a liability, an energizer or a non-factor for you as you look at the 2004 campaign? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. Jennifer in North Kingstown, Rhode Island, wants to join the conversation. She's on the line now. Jennifer, what do you want to say?
Hi, I saw Bill Clinton addressing an audience over the weekend, and I was quite nostalgic for a reason, and the kind of savvy way he was able to handle his international image really increased our international image. And as somebody who travels abroad, I feel like if Kerry can take that and run with it, then I think maybe some of the damage that's been done in the last 4 years internationally as our reputation as a world leader has really, we're seen as a big threat now. And so that was the thing that I really took away from listening to Clinton speak about his book, was just that maybe he can influence Kerry in that respect, in improving our image internationally and our relationships with the rest of the world.
Kathy Allen, do you see John Kerry as being cut from that same cloth as Bill Clinton, that ability to reach out to the rest of the world?
I think that she has a good point. The fact here is that Clinton is still held in very high regard. Indeed, his numbers never looked so good outside the country. In many different cases, he always looked good outside our country, despite his lowest days here in the country. The fact is that right now we're starting to see in the presidential political game, both in terms of polls and focus groups, that right now what people think of America abroad is having an impact on what people think about their presidential choice this year. And certainly if there is that gentlemanly Bill Clinton abroad, the fact is that people do think that he had a rapport we've lost. And that's something that does provide him a hook as far as helping Kerry.
Sam, calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts, wants to make a point. Sam.
Hi. First, I'd like to correct, I think it's Mr. Black's comment that the rate of growth of the economy should shut up any statements about prior economy. Of course, when you're coming from zero, from such a tanking position, the rate of growth is easy to get. But my point I wanted to make was that all this talk about Clinton's impact and possibly overshadowing Kerry is leaving out the fact that if Clinton campaigns with Kerry judiciously, I agree, he will overshadow, he will be seen as overshadowing Bush, and that the whole, the Whitewater and, you know, the his scandals, I think, will be seen in perspective, leading almost to impeachment, will be seen as perspective as nothing compared to some of the accusations about how the White House has been run now. And I think that, so the comparison with Bush, and I hope Clinton and Kerry do make some sort of agreement about Hillary's role, and I think they can come to it, and if they're united, it'll be great. Not using Clinton, Gore not using Clinton was his biggest mistake.
Sam Black, your response to that, as before, that President Bush is up against John Kerry, not Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I think so. And by the way, we did start from zero economic growth because President Bush inherited a recession from President Clinton that kicked in the very first quarter that he was president. We're now back to 5% growth in the last year and 1.2 million new jobs this year. But look, it's just history tells you that the voters focus on the candidates who are running this time. One of those candidates might use policies of a previous president to associate themselves in the voters' minds with, but that's about it. I just, in the end, don't think Clinton's going to have much impact on the election. And real quickly, a lot of people were saying, well, all the activity surrounding President Reagan's death and funeral and the tremendous public outpouring, that's going to help Bush. At the time, I said, you know, I doubt it. That was the past. People want to know about the future, and that appears to be true.
Kathy Allen, you seem to be in direct contradiction to Charles Black. He doesn't reckon Clinton is going to be a factor at all. You still maintain he is.
Oh, of course he is. And he would be remiss if he weren't arguing from that perspective. Right now, you want to head the campaign to campaign in terms of Kerry and Bush, both of them going through the dog days of summer, certainly as the numbers have stabilized from their plummet with Bush in the last 2 months with all of the negative headlines about Iraq and the prisoner situation. Tonight, today, another beheading. The fact is that these are not good things that a president wants on his watch. The inability to stabilize situations that the American public, the swing voter American public, is going to turn around and be horrified at. However, we have an unknown in terms of Kerry as he becomes known. He has, in one way, a great advantage. The person who was less known gets to reinvent themselves to the public, to be able to introduce themselves in a way that tries to fill the void that they see created in a controversial presidency like Bush.
Kathy Allen, many thanks. Do stay with us, Democratic strategist Kathy Allen, and you too, On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. We must bid farewell to you, Charles Black. Thanks many very much for having been on the program. Charles Black, Republican strategist. We're discussing the Clinton factor in the 2004 race for the White House. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about Bill Clinton's new autobiography, My Life, on sale today across the United States. Along with the talk about blockbuster sales, there's talk about what the impact of a highly visible Clinton will have on John Kerry and his bid for the White House. Do you worry that Clinton will suck the political oxygen at a time when John Kerry needs it most? Is an invigorated and vocal Clinton on the stump exactly what John Kerry needs to connect with voters? Can Kerry connect with Clinton without connecting himself to the Clinton scandals? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking with Democratic strategist Kathy Allen, with On Point's news analyst Jack Beatty, and I'd like to welcome into the conversation John Harwood, political editor for the Wall Street Journal. John Harwood, many thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Inside the Beltway, how is Bill Clinton now seen?
I think he's seen the same way he was essentially when he left office a few years ago, as a flawed guy who ended up presiding over a relatively successful economy and made some important domestic reforms in the country. And was plagued by his personal failings. I don't think that's changed. He's selling a lot of books. He's making a lot of money for himself and his publisher, but I don't think there is a dramatic reappraisal going on.
Not a dramatic reappraisal, but one has the sense over the last 4 years of slow rehabilitation. Has he completed his rehab?
I wouldn't say that he's completed his rehab. Certainly the fact that the economy got a lot worse after he left office. Now, if you talk to the Bush people, of course, as I do, they say that Bill Clinton left a recession in George Bush's lap. But the economy was better under George W. Bush, and the United States, by and large, was at peace. Now, again, there's a conservative indictment of Bush, Bill Clinton, that he failed to defang al-Qaeda on his watch, and that's something the president has to answer for. But I don't think that enough time has elapsed to really have people see Bill Clinton in a much different light.
You say there's not been a reappraisal, but has any kind of judgment been reached yet on Al Gore's decision in that election to distance himself from Bill Clinton? Is it something that cost him the election?
That's one of the very interesting, fascinating, and unresolved debates within the Democratic Party. There are a lot of Democrats who, in effect, echoing the point that George Bush makes about inheriting a weak economy, that in the latter part of 2000, the stock market had started to decline. People were beginning to feel some of their savings dissipate, beginning to feel squeezed by the economy, and therefore it was not appropriate for Al Gore to run on the prosperity of the Clinton years. On the other hand, there are a lot of political moderates who say that had Al Gore talked up his connection to Clinton in terms of policy successes, he might have had more success in the center of the electorate with moderate voters and squeaked out the votes he needed in places like New Hampshire and Florida to beat George W. Bush.
John Howard, let's take a call from David in Somerville, Massachusetts. David, what did you want to say?
How are you tonight?
Very well.
I guess I wanted to say that I think Bill Clinton could be a huge positive for John Kerry. If he has, in a sense, the kind of imagination, the courage to do it, and if the Kerry people let him do it, you know, I think Clinton is unusually well-placed to make the moral case against George Bush. And I say that because partly—
I mean, that'll surprise a lot of people, the idea that Bill Clinton could make the moral case against George Bush.
Yeah, because it will surprise John Kerry, too.
Well, he's in his redemption phase, you know, very similar to where in the Christian tradition he is, in a sense, coming out of a period of sin into a period of grace, just as George Bush continually makes use of his ill-spent youth as giving the, you know, part of his moral foundation, his turning around, fit to be president because he's redeemed himself. And the argument that Clinton could really make is that, you know, real morality is not a multiple choice test. It's not like, you know, you make the right choice and you are therefore the moral individual. It's being, you know, really awake and aware to the consequences of your actions. You know, the right destroyed Clinton or attempted to destroy Clinton in very much the way they went into Iraq, you know, blind, tunnel vision, not aware of the consequences of what they were doing, not really caring about the consequences. And Clinton, as somebody that everybody recognizes as a brilliant politician with moral failings, could really make that point. I don't know if he's going to be allowed to, but he could.
Okay, David, thanks for that. Kathy Allen, just perhaps avoiding the moral complexities of that particular argument, I mean, there is another one, namely that how can John Kerry connect with Bill Clinton without connecting himself to the Clinton scandals?
What this campaign is about, particularly now as we go up to the days of convention, this is about getting your own people together. Right now, people who are more likely to be part of the Democratic base, Clinton does very well by them. Clinton can get up there and he can rally the troops and get our team together. But when it comes to trying to swing that, some would say, single-digit number of people who are still undecided at this point. Clinton's not the person to do that. John Kerry is the person to do that. That is the only person that's going to be there as we start to go down to the home stretch. Right now, you would use Clinton just to make sure everyone on our side is doing everything they need to do to be part of the base team.
John Harwood, I mean, do you feel that there is a sense in which Bill Clinton could actually hurt John Kerry?
I doubt it. He could hurt Al Gore because Al Gore was Bill Clinton's vice president. We were much closer in time to the Lewinsky scandal. I don't think there's any plausible way or any credible Republican who will try to tie John Kerry to the Clinton scandals. It just doesn't wash. On the other hand, as Kathy just said, John Kerry is the guy who's got to make the case to swing voters that he is up to the job of replacing George W. Bush. Bill Clinton, at the end stage of the campaign, may be able to excite some base voters and help with turnout a bit, but he's not the one who can make the case for John Kerry. John Kerry's got to do it.
Okay, Michael's on the line from Medford in Massachusetts, and I understand you want to make a similar point.
Thank you very much. Yes, my point is simply this. The voters aren't stupid. We may really respect Bill Clinton, or we may despise him, but we are going to vote for John Kerry on his merits, on his program, on what he offers. We're not going to vote based on Bill Clinton's record, whether or not we like Bill Clinton. That's my simple point.
And do you believe that John Kerry and Bill Clinton represent something very different?
From what?
From each other. I mean, in terms of policies, their outlook on the world.
That's not the point, is it? It's whether they represent something very different from George Bush and his cabal. And that's why we will vote for Kerry. The vote is against Bush. It's not for Bill Clinton. It's against Bush. And Bush's abrogation of his responsibility, his despising of our Constitution. That's why we'll vote for Kerry.
Jack Beatty, at the end of the day, it is just that, a contest between President Bush and John Kerry.
It is, and I think there's something that John Kerry can learn from Bill Clinton as a campaigner. Bill Clinton was not a partisan campaigner. He didn't give partisan speeches. His forte was reasoning in public, explaining policies, and making the QED seem, well, of course you're right. And Al Gore was just the opposite, tub-thumping, yelling, partisan. He lost that Clinton way of just being persuasive. And if Kerry could pick up some of that, that works with the independent voter very well. They don't want partisanship. They want lucid explanations of the alternatives before the country. Clinton specialized in that. If Kerry can do it, it'll be a big plus.
John Harwood, earlier in the program, we heard Republican strategist Charles Black dismissing Clinton out of hand. The Republicans intend to ignore him. Is that what you're hearing from inside the Republican camp?
I think that's smart on their part. They're not going to score too many more points against Bill Clinton. They've got to score on John Kerry. They're going very aggressively after him. It's been difficult for them to make the negative case against John Kerry because so much big, bad news in the world, mostly about Iraq, has been overshadowing front pages and TV broadcasts for weeks now. But John Kerry's the one they need to go after, and he's the one they are going after.
Kathy Allen, at the end of the day, is that what it is all about, President Bush versus John Kerry, and that Bill Clinton could conceivably just be a sideshow?
I think right now it's all about what will beat Bush from our side. And I agree that 957 pages worth of a book on Bill Clinton's life is not going to play in that. It is a good book. It is a good read. It's got all the sex and power and violence and everything else you could want. It's
you
got
like
heroes and villains. But the fact is, it's just not going
to
be
Sorry,
in
was that
play.
Was that you, John Harwood, wanting
yeah,
to come in?
I was just saying, Kathy seems to like it better than the New York Times did.
I certainly did. I used to work at the New York Times. I got to tell you, no, I don't think this is a – I don't think it's a bad read at all. I mean, before now, all we had was West Wing to be able to give any clue as to what happened, and reads pretty true to West Wing.
But it's the tone is very defensive, is it not, Kathy Allen?
Yes, what I've read so far, there's an awful lot, although I must admit when I got to the part when he thought that Hillary was thinner than he had ever seen her before, so thin, her lovely but large head seemed to be too big for her body. I thought, Ooh, I bet you there would be another day on the couch on that line. That's but indeed, at the end of the day, this is about, can Kerry beat Bush, or does Bush beat Bush?
And could I jump in on one other point? You raised the question about differences between Clinton and Kerry. There's some considerable amount of policy overlap there, and on some of the more controversial things that Bill Clinton did within the Democratic Party, welfare reform, trade expansion, John Kerry was there. But there's no question that Bill Clinton had a magic when he was campaigning that John Kerry doesn't have. Al Gore perhaps had even less of it than John Kerry does. But John Kerry, I think, needs to go out and be himself, show Americans that he's comfortable with the positions he's advocating and the persona he's projecting. If he can do that, certainly there's enough raw material in public opinion for him to make a competitive case against Bush.
John Harwood, many thanks. John Harwood, political editor for the Wall Street Journal. I was also speaking to Kathy Allen, Democratic strategist in Seattle, and Jack Peaty, On Point News analyst. Thank you all very much. We're going to end the hour with a reading from Bill Clinton's new memoir, My Life. Here, President Clinton recounts hearing the news that his mother, Virginia Kelly, had died in early 1994.
The year 1994 was one of the hardest of my life, one in which important successes in foreign and domestic policy were overshadowed by the demise of health care reform and an obsession with bogus scandal. It began with personal heartbreak and ended in political disaster. On the night of January 5th, Mother called me at the White House. She had just returned from her trip to Las Vegas. I told her I'd been calling her hotel room for several days and never found her in. She laughed and said she'd been out day and night having the time of her life in her favorite city, and she didn't have time to sit around waiting for the phone to ring. She had loved Barbara Streisand's concert and was especially pleased that Barbara had introduced her and dedicated a song to her. Mother was in high spirits and seemed strong. She just wanted to check in and tell me she loved me. It wasn't much different from the countless calls we'd shared over the years, usually on Sunday nights. About 2 a.m., the phone rang again, waking Hillary and me. Dick Kelly was on the line crying. He said, "She's gone, Bill." After a perfect but exhausting week, Mother had just gone to sleep and died. I knew it was coming, but I wasn't ready to let her go. Now our last phone conversation seemed too routine, too full of idle chit-chat. We had talked like people who think they have forever to talk to each other. I was aching to redo it, but all I could do was tell Dick that I loved him, that I was so grateful to him for making her last years happy, and that I'd get home as quickly as I could. Hillary knew what had happened from my end of the conversation. I hugged her and wept. She said something about Mother and her love of life, and I realized that the phone conversation was just the kind Mother would have chosen to be our last one. My mother was always about life, not death. Later that morning, we put out a release announcing Mother's death, which was all over the news immediately. By coincidence, Bob Dole and Newt Gingrich were on the morning news programs. Undeterred by the moment, interviewers asked about Whitewater. Dole replied that it, quote, cries out for the appointment of an independent counsel. I was stunned. I would have thought that even the press and my adversaries would take a time out on the day of my mother's death. To his credit, a few years later, Dole apologized to me. By then, I better understood what had happened. Washington's narcotic of choice is power. It dulls the senses and clouds the judgment. Dole was not even close to being its worst abuser. I was touched by his apology.
President Bill Clinton reading from his new memoir, My Life. The book hits bookstores today. I'm Julian Marshall, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.